Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer, and comedian Emily Winter, and I'm not doing a big intro because this is a very long episode with so many stories. So let's just get right to it. Hope you enjoy. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have comedian Dustin Eric. Dustin, thank you so much for doing the pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This is yet another Pittsburgh comedian. This is, I just like Pittsburgh and paranormal. This is now my new niche. So I'm so excited to hear your ghost stories. Are you a lifelong Pennsylvania guy?
Yeah. So I was actually born in Vegas, like in Henderson, Nevada. I lived in Las Vegas for first couple years of my life, but that was only because my mom lived out there. But all of our family's here in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area. So after a couple years of me being out there, we moved back here. And that's where I've been ever since.
Amazing. So are your ghost stories Pittsburgh ghost stories?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the first thing I wanted to say was, like, I was listening to the podcast the other day, and there was a couple short stories about like cats and like animals and stuff. Yes. Like that. And it just sparked a memory. So in the last apartment that I lived in, it was a house that my buddy owned, and I rented the second floor of mm-hmm. this house. And I've always had cats, like since I was like 8 years old, essentially. I've always had, you know, two or three cats. So when I lived in this place, I had the whole second floor to myself, and it was essentially a redone attic. So mm-hmm. It was just one big open room. And anytime I would leave the house, the two cats that I had, they would just start playing with each other, and like they would chase each other back and forth. And my roommates who lived downstairs, who owned the house, they would hear the cats and say, you know, it sounds like people just running back and forth, you know, because it's just cats chasing after each other, jumping on furniture and whatnot.
Yeah.
And this would happen every time I would leave the house. So eventually, over the years that I lived there, each of those two cats, they got different forms of cancer, and they both passed away. So shortly after the second one passed away, within the year, I moved into this apartment that I'm in now. Mm-hmm. And after I moved out, my former roommate would text me, and she'd be like, "Hey, me and Bubs," which is what we called her son. She'd be like, "Me and Bubs are downstairs and we're just watching TV. We're the only ones here. And we hear your cats running back and forth."
How precious is that? I'm gonna cry.
And it would always happen, like, because like whenever they were alive and they were chasing each other, if I would come downstairs, that's when they would always chase after each other and play. And then, you know, you would go upstairs and peek your head up, and they would just stop and just stare at you for a second. And then, you know, you go back downstairs, and then they would just start back up. So this is just kind of a thing that happened with them after I moved out as well. Like they would come downstairs, and then they would hear that. And then, you know, it's now the kid's room, Bubs. It's now his bedroom. So like he would go back up there, and, you know, they would check to see what the sound was, and they wouldn't see anything. And then they would come back downstairs and they would hear it again. This has happened like multiple times, but, yeah, I just always said that they were still, you know, watching the house and playing with each other there.
That is so sweet. Cat ghosts. Oh, I love it. And they're playing. They're like in their glory, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they have my roommates had a cat named Gunter, and he stayed downstairs, but like occasionally he would go upstairs and, you know, kind of like mess with them a little bit. So, now I think like Gunter knows that they're there, because I think there's times where like he's like looked at stuff in the room that, you know, they don't see and whatnot. So
amazing. The cat knows. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Oh, cool. And this isn't even the ghost story that you intended to tell today.
Not at all.
I love it. This is just so something beautiful.
That sparked in my memory last night. But transitioning from that, you know, we're speaking about the guest you had from Pennsylvania, and I just think that's super cool because, like, Pennsylvania in general, there's just so much history here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an old state. There's, you know, a lot that's happened. There's, I mean, we have Gettysburg, all kinds of like different burial grounds. And, you know, I grew up in Freeport, which is a very small town. I think the population right now is like 1700.
Okay.
But even that town has, you know, plenty of like random ghost stories and stuff to tell. When I was growing up, they would always say that the town, because it's like located at the bottom of a valley, and there's mm-hmm. a big hill at the top that you come down in the town at. And if you're coming in from that angle, that said that the lights at night would spell the word Slayer.
Slayer?
Yeah.
Like the band?
Yeah. And you know, for the longest time that was true. Like you could actually like go up to the top of the hill and make out where the, you know, like where the Slayer is.
And that's the lights from the town or what?
Yeah, just from like the street lights and the lights coming from like certain buildings and stuff. I don't think it is that way anymore because there's a few like changes and stuff, like just different buildings and like some buildings burned down or been taken down or whatnot. So I don't know if it's still like that. I haven't really looked in years.
It's like a man-made Orion's belt or something.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but even in that town, I remember there was a lot of stories of ghosts at the junior high school.
Ooh.
Because the junior high school, apparently, like they always said it was built over like some sort of like burial ground. And I don't know how true that is because I feel like that's just a very cliche thing.
Yeah.
You know, but there were a lot of people that said, you know, they've seen multiple things at the junior high, especially like after it was closed. I remember like I never experienced anything myself, but I remember talking to the janitor. Mm-hmm. There and he told me like multiple times that, you know, he would be cleaning up, he would be the only one in the building essentially, and then, you know, something would fall off a shelf, or, you know, he would hear like, you know, footsteps down the hall but no one would be there, and, you know, just like little weird occurrences and like shadows. And like I vaguely remember some story about like seeing like a kid downstairs like in the basement, but you know, when they like hid from him, and that was like the end of it. Like he never found anyone down there. It was just,
oh my god,
like, yeah,
gosh, if being 12 isn't hard enough to have your junior high school be haunted, it's like, please, I just got my first period, let me deal with that.
But I never experienced anything at the junior high, but there was like multiple teachers and like just multiple people that had like very similar experiences. But onto like my personal experiences, my thing has always been that I see shadows.
Oh, interesting.
It's kind of weird. So like whenever I was little, like grade school, we were, you know, the town was small. A lot of the kids would just play together around the streets at night in the summertime. And we would go up to the park, on top of the town. And this park bordered a cemetery as well. So there's like the playground, and there's like the soccer fields, and then there's like a tree line, and then there's a cemetery on the other side. And we would just go up there like kind of in the evening, like right before it starts getting like real dark, and just play like tag and, you know, hide and seek and just all kinds of different games using like all the different fields and, you know, even the cemetery and stuff. And there were multiple times where we would be playing like hide and seek or something, and I would see like, you know, towards the tree line or like in the back end of the cemetery, I would see like essentially like a shadow figure of like a like a person standing there.
And did you think it was other kids at the time?
No, because it wasn't like that height, you know. It was definitely like more like closer to like adult height.
Did it scare you?
Not really, because like it was a public park. I mean, you know, there was always people going in and out of the cemetery to, you know, visit their loved ones and stuff. But I would, you know, point this out, and you know, the other kids either wouldn't see it, or like by the time I would turn around, it would be gone. And you know, the other kids just always thought that, you know, I was, you know, full of shit, basically. And you know, I never really thought anything of it. No one ever really believed me, so I just kind of like dismissed it, like, okay, yeah, maybe I am just a dumb little kid that's seeing things, you know. But I kind of want to like keep this in mind for later, because nothing ever really happened from there, but like this is kind of like the first earliest memory of right. anything. So years later, there was even stuff like weird occurrences with like that happened with like family members and stuff. I remember my cousin, her husband, he had passed away at one point. I think it might have been like a heart attack or something, but he passed away, and he had a sister who she went on vacation right before he passed away. And this was, you know, early 90s, like I'm still in grade school, so like you know, we didn't have cell phones there, you know, people weren't glued to being able to contact people at all times.
Yes. And,
I'm pretty sure she went to like, I don't know if it was Jamaica, but it was like some other country
out of the country. Sure.
Yeah, like not close. And no one knew how to get in touch with her. And, you know, like he passed away basically like right after she left.
And it was sudden. It was like not like she's not going to be checking up. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It was a very sudden thing. And this wasn't like a short vacation either. Like she was going, she had like a lot of plans and go and do this and that. And so everybody's like trying to call her every day and like trying to get in touch with her best they can, but like, you know, she doesn't have any contact information for the hotel or anything like that. So no one was able to actually speak to her. So days go by and we actually have the funeral.
Oh my God. And she's still in Jamaica or what?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Jamaica, but she's still like wherever she was. And you know, no one had been able to talk to her at that point. And I remember I was with my mom and uncle. We were in the funeral home. It was at the viewing. And then she comes running in the door, and just immediately like hugs, you know, hugs her sister-in-law and like the family members. And she said that, you know, she was on this trip. I think it was like supposed to be like a 2-week trip. And she just got this weird feeling while she was out there, that she needed to come home. She just had this like horrible gut feeling. And you know, it was kind of weird at first, but then it like got too intense. And then she just, you know, canceled the rest of her trip, got an early flight, came home. Checked all of, you know, she had all these messages on her answering machine, and then, you know, didn't change or anything, just went straight to the funeral home.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. That's amazing and tragic, and but also like so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a we need to trust our gut type of story.
Absolutely.
Holy cow. Oh my goodness. It's so great that she did that.
Yeah. And I was always like one memory that really stuck out. Cause like, you know, as you're growing up and, you know, learning and aging, and you know, there's always going to be these specific memories that stick out in your head over the years, and this is one that has always stuck out in my mind because I just remember like that scene playing out in my head. Like I'm in the corner of the funeral home and we like people are talking about how like no one could get in touch with her, and mm-hmm. then she just comes right into the door. It was like a TV show or a movie, you know, something that would happen out of that. It was just wild.
Wow, what a story. Whew. Holy cow. And so you have this shadow thing when you're a kid, and then mm-hmm. this experience. And so now you're kind of like, maybe there's something invisible in the world that I,
right,
you know.
Right, yeah. This is where I like really started to like, I don't want to say necessarily like believing in ghosts, but like, you know, thinking more of things and intuition and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But to add on to that, so this guy that passed away, he had a son. Mm-hmm. And I think the son was probably like in his 30s at the time, roughly. I know he was like an adult, but the son had Down syndrome. So he didn't really speak too well. Mm-hmm. Like there's only like he would basically like he knew what you were saying and like he could understand you that way, but like he would, when he was communicating with you, he did a lot of pointing, and then he would say like one or two words mm-hmm. essentially. So I remember my mom telling me stories shortly after his dad passed away, that like the mom would hear the TV from the living room, and the son would be in the living room by himself, and he didn't typically turn the TV on. Like he would mm-hmm. he would always like have someone get the remote and turn it on for him, or mm-hmm. And you know, she would ask like, you know, did you do this? And then he would say, I can't remember what he called him. I don't remember if he called him like Dada or Papa or something, but like he would say that essentially like it was his dad that did it. And you know, I remember my mom telling me like a couple different times of like that happening, you know, or like something similar where he would just like basically like sit down and then they'd be like, did you do this? And then he'd be like, no, you know, it was him. But I just always thought that like that was super interesting, and like I thought it meant that like, you know, the family was that close too, you know.
Yeah, dad's still coming back to just say hi in the way of turning on the TV. That's really sweet. My gosh, I love a nice story.
And then as far as like my immediate family goes, when I was just out of high school. So this happened like the summer after my senior year. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much all the big stories after this are roughly like within that year frame as well. So all like roughly around the same time. So right around this time, my cousin Dave passed away. in a motorcycle accident.
Sorry.
It was very interesting because, you know, every holiday, whether it's, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas or, you know, all the big ones, our family would get together and we would all go to like either my grandma's or my aunt's house. Mm-hmm. And you know, the whole family would always be there. Now there were times where Dave, when he was alive, he didn't always live in Pennsylvania. You know, he lived in California for many years. And, mm-hmm. you know, during these times he would just call. So, you know, halfway through the afternoon when he knew everybody would be there, he would call, and, you know, we would all kind of like say hi to him and, you know, pass the phone around and stuff.
That's sweet.
So whenever he passed away, we would still have, you know, these family meetups at holidays. We would go to my aunt's house, and, you know, we would go to like my cousin's house sometimes or wherever we were. And you know, there were a couple times where even like I had to show up late because, you know, I had to work my job for a little bit, depending on the holiday. And every time, like, it would be after we were all there, whether I was showing up late or whether we were waiting on someone else. But we would get a call from, so it wouldn't be from like an unknown number. It was weird because like she had caller ID, and you know, if it was a restricted call, it would say like restricted call, or it would say unknown number or toll number, or, you know, it would say some sort of indication if it wasn't just like a regular number. So every holiday we would get a call, and it would be from like a line of zeros.
Whoa. And, oh my God. I just got chills. Oh boy.
It wasn't even like the amount of numbers that would be in a phone. So it wasn't like 10 or 11 numbers or whatever. It was just like an entire screen on the caller ID that was just like all zeros. And you know, it would ring and ring, and then we would pick it up, and then it would just be silence. It wasn't like, you know, someone hung up. It wasn't, it was just straight silence. And this happened every holiday for years.
Did you guys just start saying like, hi, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah. We would basically just say that it was him. And you know, there were times where like, you know, if someone was showing up late or whatever, we would know that he wasn't going to call until afterwards.
I am going to cry. This is so beautiful and so sad.
Yeah. But it happened for many years. I think eventually it just kind of stopped over the years.
Yeah.
But you know, no matter where we were, whether it was my aunt's house or, you know, one of our other relatives' house for the holiday, once our immediate family was essentially gathered, then there would be a call, and it would always be from that line of zeros, no matter which house it was at.
Was he young when he died?
He was fairly young. I don't remember how old. I want to say like mid to late 20s, probably like late 20s.
Yeah, very young, I think. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was like, he was very, very close to the family, and it was just like something that kind of continued, because, you know, if he wasn't there whenever he was alive, he would always call us. So it was just a wild thing that.
How old were you when this started, and when? Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right, because you said right after high school, right? Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it was like either the summer before my senior year or the summer after, but regardless, all these stories are roughly around the same year.
Time frame. Holy cow. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I always love that. And, you know, I just thought it was cool, 'cause we'd just be like, yeah, Dave's just checking in on us. And, you know,
wow, I haven't gotten this emotional in a minute on one of these. Are there any other stories that you have from this time?
So those are just kind of like, honestly, the ones that
they're amazing.
I just got reminded of a little bit while listening to your other podcasts. Yeah. So, but they kind of lead up to the ones that I planned on going into anyway. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so the big stories that I wanted to talk about, there's two different ones. There's two at each location. There's two different locations, 113 Benz and one is Hankey Church Cemetery. Okay. And there's two experiences that stick out at each one. And then I have like another little lighthearted one I want to tell after these Amazing. Ones too. But so 13 Benz, so right out of high school, I guess I should start. My friends and I, we had a lot of time on our hands, you know? Mm-hmm. So we were a group of friends that all didn't go to college right after high school. So like, you know, we had that summer to basically just do whatever. And then it just kind of continued after that. So at some point we got into the idea of like wanting to do like ghost hunting and like paranormal research and stuff. We, at the time, you know, social media wasn't really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were still looking up directions on, you know, MapQuest and stuff.
MapQuest.
Yeah. So we looked up on the internet, and we found some like ghost hunting or paranormal like web forums and like bulletin boards. And we found one specifically for like Western Pennsylvania. And there was a lot of different stories, and one of them was essentially like literally a list of different locations to check out and like places that like people have reported stuff that have happened and stuff. So we just basically took that year and went to a lot of these places and, you know, seeing what we could find. And, you know, a lot of them overall, we didn't really have any much experience, if anything. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know,
nothing exists there. I was just I was doing a podcast with a paranormal investigator who's mm-hmm. like, most of the time it's nothing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, we just didn't personally have any experiences at most of the places. But however, there was one called 13 Bends. And I will say the amount of bends is kind of debatable. I would say that it's more like 11 or 12, but you know, 13 is probably a better number. It's a little bit more scary.
Scary, yeah.
But anyway, so this place, it's like you go off of a main road and then you go onto a back road. And then on this back road, there is an unmarked dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's no signs, and it kind of looks like it just leads to nowhere, because it basically does. Eventually it'll come out like on the other end. It like goes through the woods essentially. And eventually it'll come out on another end, like very, very far up the road. But this is 13 Bends, and it's just a huge dirt road that takes, you know, it's probably a couple miles long, but you go through it, and then about halfway through you'll come to what is an open field essentially. Mm-hmm. And there's still like, you know, a lot of trees and woods and but the story is that there was an orphanage in this location, and at some point it had burnt down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember much of any details other than that, but I remember orphanage burnt down in this location, and there were still supposedly spirits that, you know, roamed around the location.
Pretty sad stuff. Orphanage plus fire.
Yeah.
Doesn't get worse than that. Yeah.
So one of the first experiences I had there, it might have even be the first experience, we went with a big group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's probably like 10 or 12 of us. So we had multiple cars, probably I want to say 3 cars. And you know, we come to the open field, and we walk around, and you can actually, if you're in the right spot, you can actually find the base foundation of where the orphanage is. Like there's no walls or anything, but you can see like the pavement foundation essentially.
Okay.
Of like where the building would have been.
Okay.
So, you know, we've seen that. And at some point while we're just roaming around, you know, there's a bunch of us, and we're just kind of like separating in different areas and just like looking around. I think 2 or 3 of us had flashlights, and we're just in a couple different groups. At some point, someone points out that there's someone there. He says like, hey, look over there, like, hey, someone, or he said something along those lines. But I remember him pointing, and we all looked, and towards the tree line, that we saw 2 shadows with glowing eyes, and it's like glowing yellow eyes. Like I shit you not when I say that. And like you know, there was a big group of us. So it wasn't one of those things where it's like, am I just seeing something?
Right.
Like, you know, multiple people were there and we all saw it, but they weren't adult height. You know, one was like, you know, came up to like maybe my shoulders or something. And then the other next to it was a little bit shorter, but we all just kind of stared for, you know, probably 2-3 seconds. And then the one dude shines the flashlight.
Uh-huh.
And then it's gone. And when I say gone, I don't mean like, you know, the leaves of the bushes and trees were moving and something ran into the woods. I mean, like we shine the light on it and it just dissipated in the thin air. And you know, there was a big group of us and we were confused, but like, you know, we had a couple girls with us as well and they were like freaking out a little bit. So like a group of us went and like looked in the woods in that direction with the flashlights, and we couldn't find any sign of like creature or being or anything, or like any indication that something ran from where it was, essentially. And it was kind of like towards the end of the open field, so it wasn't like really close enough to just like hide in a bush or something
right,
like that,
you know. Right. That's so freaky. What do you think it was, like spirits of kids?
So that's not even the creepy part.
Oh my gosh.
And to answer your question, yes, I do. So, you know, we spend some time looking, and we get back to the cars, and on the cars, there is handprints, like little kid handprints all over, like where the door handles are and like the hoods and the sides of the car. But every single one of our vehicle had like little kid handprints.
What were they? Were they in like dust on the car or like what?
For the most part. And like, depending when you go to, cause like, it's kind of like in a valley in a field. I mean, there's, I don't think this time, but, there's been times where I was out there and there's like fog. It's not unusual to see just cause of like where it's at. But like regardless, your car is going to get dirty because it's just a dirt road that goes through the woods. So there's going to be some sort of dust or something on it.
That is so scary. Mm-hmm. Little kid handprints all over all these cars. Oh my gosh. So, everyone freaking out?
Yeah. Yeah. So like that, you know, that was the first time that like a lot of us had been there and like a big group of us had been there, and you know, some people were saying that, you know, it was probably an animal, but like a lot of us were a little bit more freaked out saying, you know, we think it was a kid or, you know, a ghost kid or something. But
an animal wouldn't like try to get, also a handprint is pretty unmistakable.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not like a raccoon went up to my car and started.
Yeah. It was trying to get in.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wild. Wild. Oh my gosh, I would have been totally freaking out.
Yeah. So to add on to that one, there was another time where a small group of us went back. I think there was four of us.
Yeah, after that experience, you're gonna lose some people.
Yeah. So it was me and my one friend who went that first time, and then I think it was two people that weren't there originally, and this was their first time there. But we get there, we only have one car, so we pull up to the spot, and you know, we get out and we start to feel a little bit of a breeze, which, you know, isn't really much of anything, but it was just kind of weird. We get out of the car and feel like a chill to the air almost. Mm-hmm. You know, so we walk away from the car, and as soon as we step in the field, I don't really know how to describe it. The best way I've always said is old timey music.
Yeah.
So I would say like, you know, something that you would see on like an old black and white film, or like, you know, something along those lines where people weren't speaking, but like just weird old music, essentially. Yeah. From like some weird like instrument. So we get in the field and we start to hear this music play. And, you know, keep in mind, we're in the middle of a field in the middle of a woods, and there's no houses for miles. And there's like no reason anyone should be here.
Yeah.
So we walk in the field, and, you know, it was creepy, but apparently it wasn't creepy enough because we kept investigating. But the weird thing was, we would get closer to the foundation of the building, and as we would get closer, the music would get louder.
Oh my God.
And we got to the foundation of the building, and it sounded like, you know, it was in a room that we weren't in, basically. And we, like, it was, we're in the middle of a field, there's trees, and like we're kind of in a valley, so it kind of echoes everywhere. So we're like, okay, well, maybe it's not coming from here, but like we're really freaked out because like it sounded like it was coming from the building that we were standing on, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you know, it would just be as loud as it would get while we were close to the building, and then we would walk away and it would get quieter, and we eventually just decided to leave. We got back to the car, and again there were little kid handprints
the car twice.
Yeah. And we got in the car, we left. Basically, as soon as we got back into the car, the music stopped. We didn't hear anything. And I don't know if we ever went back after that. There were a couple times like in between where like a couple groups of us, and there wasn't really much of anything that happened, but those were the two experiences there that like really stuck out to me. But that was like the second time that I really remember in my life where like I've seen shadowy figures since that time whenever I was very young, you uh-huh. know. But then there was another one that we looked at. And now keep in mind, like we got all these stories and locations from like a supernatural bulletin board, and, you know, like web forums that people were posting about. And the funny thing about that is that like we thought that these people would be super supportive and like into the stuff that we found, and like we would go to these experiences, and then like after we went to all these experiences, we went back to the bulletin board and posted, and we were like, yeah, we, you know, this happened here and this happened here, and everybody just literally flamed us and was like what are you doing, you guys shouldn't be there. And they basically just tore us a new one, and was just like saying we were doing stuff that we shouldn't, and like
why
like none of these areas were really like no trespassing or anything, but it was just like they were like very offended that we like were looking for spirits, but at the same time it was like that's what the, it was just a very weird take. Yeah,
yeah,
it was just so funny because we were like super excited because we're like, yeah, we saw stuff and we want to go tell these people that we are also interested in, because like this is where we found it. And then they were all super mad about it, which I think is just super interesting.
That's ridiculous. It's like I feel like they're people that just want to own the experiences. Like, we are the only people that can go and do it.
Right, you don't have,
yeah, even though it's like nobody owns this, man. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we need an official ghost hunting group to do this. Another one that we found out from there was Hanky Church Cemetery. So a lot of what we read about Hanky Church is there's this one grave in the cemetery that looks like a tree stump, essentially.
Okay.
like it has like the, you know, like the name and date and stuff, but, and there's some sort of like emblem or symbol like engraved into the middle of it, essentially. And this is what is said to be like the source of, you know, spirituality or, you know, activity in the cemetery whenever it happens. And there is lots of stories where people say that, you know, you take a picture of that particular gravestone and the symbol will always have like a flame or like some sort of like fire, like on the picture, like after you get it developed, it, you know, the, you would get the picture back, and then that, like, there would just be like a
fire. Love it. That's like a, it's like, it's like orbs, but even cooler.
Yeah. So like, sure as shit. We went there multiple times, and, you know, there were a couple times where we would bring like disposable cameras, and, you know, we would take various pictures of that stump, and every single picture would have some sort of like, some you could say it, you know, it was like a light reflection or something like that, but like a lot of them just looked like a straight up, you know, floating flame in the middle of the emblem. And one of my friends, I remember he had a picture where it, like, you could literally make out like a face in this reflection. It just looked like, you
was
know,
it in the flame?
So instead of a flame in that picture, it was just like a like a light reflection, but it was like a, you know, a face.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary. Okay, so what do you think that is? Like, what do you think it means?
So I'm not really sure what it means, but I definitely think it's that particular spirit from that, you know, that was buried there or whatever. And one of the other things they say about this cemetery is that, like, whenever you go there and the gate is open, because like it's essentially like the design is like a rectangle, right?
Okay.
So like the front of it is the front and the left side is a wooden picket fence that stands about like waist high.
Okay.
And then there's like one creepy gate that, you know, opens in the front. And they say whenever that is open at night, that's when the spirits are active. And most of the time we would go, and, you know, other than like what we would see on the camera film, you know, we didn't really experience much, but like the right side and the back of the cemetery, it was just like a tree line and like woods, essentially.
Okay.
So the first time we ever went there, it was just me and my one friend, and we pulled up, and, you know, technically you're not supposed to be in a cemetery after dark. So we kind of like parked a little bit down the road just to, you know, not make it too obvious. So we get out of his car, and keep in mind, this is like, I want to say August, you know, it wasn't like cool yet, you know.
Okay.
Maybe like towards the end of July. It was like towards the end of summer, essentially. But we get out of the car, and there's a cool breeze. And then we get closer to the cemetery, and like, it feels chillier. Mm-hmm. And of course, as soon as we walk up, the gate is open.
And that's the first time that it's been actually open.
Well, this was our first
that was your first time. Okay.
Yeah. So we just walk through the gate, and we start walking around, and as we're walking around, it literally started to snow.
What?
Yeah. And like, if I didn't have someone else there to like verify, my friends would have thought that I was crazy or like just full of shit, but like, it started to snow.
Was it sticking to the ground? Was it really like,
it was just like flurries, and, you know, it was like the temperature wasn't cold enough for it to like really stick, so it was just like they would just land, and it was just snow flurries over us. But like, that freaked us out enough as is, right?
Oh my gosh.
And we're like, okay, like something is here. Let's look around. We just got here. And then maybe like 5-10 minutes into it, Dean just slaps me on the shoulder to get my attention. He's like, look over there, look over there. And we turn around, and there's this I don't want to say like a monument, but like maybe like a taller gravestone, but it was like a gravestone that essentially someone could stand behind, like tall enough for that. And there was a shadow figure of like an adult sized figure with glowing yellow eyes. And Dean saw this too. I mean, he was the one that pointed it out to me, right? So we look at it, and there was like, it was probably only like 2 or 3 seconds, but it felt like an eternity of us just staring at this thing in silence, right? And then as we're staring at it for who knows how long, it just ducks behind the gravestone that it was standing next to. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of like take a step back, because we're like, what was that?
Yeah.
And then a gravestone that's like a little bit closer, but also the same height, it mm-hmm. appeared right behind that and just kind of peeked out. And then it went back behind that one. And then there was another one that was like a little bit smaller, and it like regular size headstone essentially. And it just peeked out behind that. And then we, like, at that point, we weren't like, it was closer each time. And at that point, you know, we didn't say anything. We just literally had the instinct, just turn around, and we both just ran out the gate, as fast as we could. We got the whole way back to the car, and we were booking it as fast as we could the whole way to the car. We get in the car, he locks the doors immediately, and as soon as we start driving and get off the road, there's no more snowflakes, and like the temperature just felt normal again.
Holy cow. That's insane. Did it feel like, was the energy when this thing was kind of approaching you, did it feel sinister? What did it feel like?
I don't want to necessarily say sinister, but it didn't feel good.
And
it didn't feel approachable. Like every other time I've had some sort of instance, like at 13 Bends or like the cemetery growing up, it was basically just like, you know, there's a figure, and you know, once you see it, or once you tell someone about it, it's just gone. And there's no like threat or anything, but like this one, it was just like, it locked eyes with us, and then it was just like getting closer in a very not approachable way.
That is so scary. So
yeah, it freaked us out.
Having these experiences, and you have so many, does this like, would you ever go ghost hunting again now as an adult man, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I would. I mean, there's a lot of places that, like, a lot of the more known places that I've already been to.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone wanted to approach me and say, hey, let's go somewhere, and, you know, someplace I haven't explored, or like they've heard stories of something or other, I'd be down for that for sure.
But it's
wild, because like all these experiences happen, like, you know, essentially when I was younger, then there was a whole big gap. Then it was like all like basically when I got out of high school, and then like I haven't really like done or seen anything since then, but I also don't really like go out and explore, you know,
seek it out.
Yeah. I mean, there's always like little weird experiences here and there, but you know, I don't know if I can necessarily chalk those up to being ghosts.
Yeah, you said you had like a silly story that you wanted to share as well.
Yeah. Let me I got one more experience at Hanky Church.
Oh, right. Okay, great.
And then I'll go into that one, because it's kind of in the same location as well.
Amazing.
But our second experience at Hanky, well, I guess this wasn't necessarily our second, because we've gone there multiple times, but the second that like something happened, there was a small group of us, like 4 or 5 of us, and me and my friend who went there the first time, like we had told our other friends, and they're like, well, we want to see this too, you know?
Yeah.
So there's like 4 or 5 of us that went there, and you know, the gate was open again, but there was, it wasn't like, there wasn't no like chill to the air, and you know, we didn't see any snow this time or anything like that. But the gate was open. We walked in, and then we kind of like split up and walk around. So there's like, the other group, and then me and my friend Frankie, go off to the one end. Now, since we're in a cemetery after dark, occasionally, like, we're on a back road, but like occasionally there would be a car. So if something would come by, we would see headlights. We would all just duck, you know, for a minute while they would drive by. So there was a car approaching at one point, and you know, we all duck. The one group is way off into the distance, and then me and Frankie are on the very edge of the cemetery. And like by the edge, I mean, like there is the tree line, like literally right next to us, like probably 10 feet away from the nearest bush in this tree line. So we get on the ground, and we're waiting for this car to pass. As the car is going by, Frankie's like, dude, what the hell is that? And this light shines out from the bush in the tree line. And it's like a light that's like as bright as like a mag light, or like, you know, a very powerful flashlight, or like some sort of like, you know, yard light or something like that. But you know, he points it out, and we stare at it, and then it just turns off. So the car leaves, and then we stand up, and then we, you know, we call our friends over to come look at it, and we go look in this bush, and we're trying to see like, okay, well, maybe this cemetery has like some sort of like property lights that we don't know about or something like that. I mean, it'd be kind of weird that they'd be putting a tree line that far away, but maybe there's some sort of explanation. But like, you know, we couldn't find a single reason why there was a light coming from this bush. There was no nothing attached to the ground. And like the bush was, you know, it was in the tree line, but there was like nothing around it. Like you could walk around the bush, you know. There was no real like explanation of like what we saw from that, or we never figured it out.
Oh my gosh, that's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so this place is so haunted. It sounds
absolutely.
Did your friends, were they satisfied with this experience, even though it wasn't as crazy as the first one?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the fact that like one of them saw the same thing that I saw at that time, you know?
Yeah.
And like it wasn't something that we could explain either, because it's not like, you know, there was a broken light, or, you know, a drop flashlight or something like that. You know, it was literally just a glowing white light that came out of a bush and then vanished once we called attention to it.
Wild. Holy cow. Oh, and then you have another story from around the same area.
Yeah. Oh, so right up the road from that, is this place called the Twin Houses. And now the story that we read about that was essentially some guy killed his family in this house. Ooh, right?
Scary. Yeah.
And then apparently I don't remember if like there like wasn't enough evidence to convict him, or there was like some weird stipulation to it, but they couldn't like put him in jail, essentially. But they condemned the property and, you know, prevented anybody from living in that building anymore. So the guy ended up building an identical property, like an identical building, like on the same property, essentially right next on the hill right next to it.
Oh my God, that's so disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And now the story is that the house that's vacant, no one lives there. But when you go up to it, there's like a little, excuse me, a curtain on the window. And then you can see like a light in what would be like, I guess, the living room.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go up to the window, supposedly, you know, there's a light, And the only thing in the room is a standing mirror. And it's at the other end. Now, the light that you see coming from the room, if you look at the ceiling, supposedly there is no light on the ceiling and there's no reason for a light to actually become from like this room, you know, like being produced from this room. However, the mirror that is on the other end of the wall, when you go up to that, supposedly you see a chain with like hanging from the ceiling with just a light bulb shining.
So
there's no light in the actual room.
Just a reflection.
But there's a reflection of a light that, you know, you should be able to see, but you don't. But supposedly that's what lights the room. And it's just like a creepy thing. Like, you know, there's no lights there, but you know, the light is always on. And that's the only room in this condemned house. So my friends and I hear about this, and like, we decide to go check it out one night. And, we got all prepared. There's like a small group of us. My buddy had his VHS recorder. And you know, we go there, and we're at the bottom of the hill, and we see the light on in the house.
Oh my God.
So we're like, we're going to see something, you know?
Yeah.
So we're trying to be like, as quiet as possible. And we're, you know, just kind of sneaking up, 'cause we don't know about the other property or like, you know, what's out there, like who's gonna see us or anything. So like, we just want to see like what's in this room. So we sneak up, and like we're being as quiet as we could be, and I thought we were super quiet. So we go up to the top, and then as soon as we get to the window to investigate it, me and my buddy go up, and you know, he has the VHS camera like right up to the window, and I think it had a light on it too. And at this point we go right up to the window, and then the curtain moves and a face appears, and there's some old lady that was living there that scared the shit out of us, and we ended up jumping and falling back. A couple of us like rolled down the hill, and then we all just ran away and took off. And we just declared that story kind of bullshit, because there's literally still a family that lives there.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love it.
It's so funny, because I remember like we were watching the video that he recorded afterwards, and you just see us being like real stealthy and going up to it. And then all of a sudden there's just like an old lady face right there. And then
just
like a lot of like chaos as we're falling down the hill.
Do you have a digital version of that video?
No. I don't even know if he still has the VHS version of it.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's probably like in storage, but
it's so funny.
It was fun.
I love ending on a fake out.
Yeah.
Well, Dustin, your stories have been absolutely incredible. I have loved this podcast. I can't wait to put it out. Tell people where they can find you on the internet and plug anything you would like to plug.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually don't do stand-up comedy, but what I do is improv comedy. So I work, manage, teach at Steel City Improv Theater in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So if you're ever looking to take a class, come sign up on our website. We have new classes going on all the time. I also perform and produce in a show there every other month. We are still finalizing our team name. I think we kind of decided on something, but I don't want to officially say it just yet. But the show is Improvised Dungeons and Dragons.
Fun!
Yeah, so it's super cool. We do that every other month. It's basically we start a campaign based off a suggestion from the audience.
So smart.
Yeah, and then I am the dungeon master. We have a couple people that are the players in the game. And then we have a couple people that are like the NPCs and people that they encounter. We even have a big inflatable D20 for the audience to roll for us for different situations.
That's awesome.
It's a very fun show. I recommend coming to check out at some point, and just checking out the theater in general. But two other things I'd like to plug that I was mentioning to you earlier before the podcast. They are in early development, so unfortunately I don't have a website for them yet, but you are welcome to follow me or friend request me on Facebook, Dustin Aric with A-A-R-I-C. That's two A's. The projects that I am starting, I am working on starting my own candle business. I am kind of in the experimental stage of finalizing some of the formulas for some of the scents that I've created right now. But the big thing with that is that I work in the cannabis industry. So I'm making CBD candles that kind of have the benefits of CBD in them as you burn them as well, but also smell good. And then the other thing that I'm working on, which both will probably be released by the end of the year, I'm going to restart a new podcast, based on cannabis education and reviews. So if you want to listen a little bit about, cannabis and, you know, me interview some guests in the industry and just learn a little bit about, the plant and how it can benefit you, then, that's what I'll be starting. So just follow me on Facebook. I'll be posting those on my personal page until I get the websites up and running.
Amazing. Amazing. And I know, listeners, you can't see Dustin right now, but I feel like with your hair, if you did not work in the cannabis industry, yep, that would be very bad for the whole world. Dustin has long, curly hair, and it's just perfect for his industry.
Yeah, I have a lot of patients that come in and tell me that exact thing.
Sorry to say it again.
No, you're good.
Well, thank you so, so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. It'll help people find it. You can also follow me at Emily MC Winter on Instagram and basically all socials, and Comedians with Ghost Stories on Instagram. Thank you so much and have a great week.